I enjoyed it. How about you?
It's fun. We had family, and you know, the kids came with the baby and with Lennon. Yeah, it's great. And
you're like a fake grandfather.
I know, a fake grandfather. Thank you. Yes, exactly. But it's hard, you know, it's hard not to, you know, I certainly have to keep tabs, right, on the action. And you look forward to certain, one of the great days in racing is opening day at Santa Anita. And, you know, I think everybody was looking forward to it. And we certainly got a performance that will stay with us a while.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the disgrace of the Graded States Committee keeping the American Oaks a grade one is something that I think that true racing fans will never forget. I assume that's what you're referring to.
I did in passing yesterday. I did mention as I was kind of going through the results.
It's disgrace.
It's crazy.
It's something that it matters in racing. You know, it's a race, frankly, it's a turf race, which I enjoy, but it's questionable whether its grade one status really should remain as it is, but it certainly shouldn't remain when the race is off the turf. And, you know, maybe if they want, when races are rained off the turf, if they want to evaluate them, you know, there's no reason not to wait 6 months. You know, the sales catalogs will be okay for 6 months and see if the horses that ran, you know, 1, 2, 3 or something want to try the dirt again in scheduled graded stakes. And if they perform, you know, to the level of those races, grade one, grade two, then there's no reason, that's fine. But without doing that, I mean, it obviously should be a grade three at very best. And I was surprised by that. Is that what you're referring to?
If that's where your mind went.
No, I just saw that the other day, and I thought that was really unfortunate. And I think it's important that we all take the game seriously, you know?
Yep. Yep.
And doing something like that is not taking it seriously. It's that race will not be a grade one. It's a dirt race. I don't think there's anybody that believes that. Anyway, I thought Flight Line was terrific. I mean, I don't. Nobody sane is saying he's a great horse. Nobody sane is saying he's one of the great horses that ever lived. I think what people, at least like myself, that were very impressed and excited by Flight Line was, he delivered a huge way. And see a horse run that way, it's his third start. And, you know, it's exciting, the prospect of him running a few more times. And I know that, you know, it's disappointing, and I understand. I mean, he's actually going to run him 4 more times. I understand. I wish he would run 8 more times also or such. But he's going to run 4 more times. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't be excited for him to run, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. How do you know, there were some very heady and lofty suggestions, comparisons, that were being bandied about. Did you think any were appropriate? I mean, Go Zapper name was invoked.
Go Zapper ran some of the big figures, so, you know, okay. But, you know, I don't need to compare. He's very fast, you know. I don't think there's any reason to make these big comparisons. Go Zapper's a different horse than him. You know, Go Zapper made these huge closes when he went shorter distances. Go Zapper also went on to win the Breeders' Cup Classic. So let's not, you know, get ahead of ourselves. He's a very fast horse, you know. I mean, I wouldn't say it's his, you know, it's his third start, but it's also 8 months since he made his debut. You know, Formal Gold ran the Breeders' Cup Classic a little over 4 months after making his debut, after running in a series of stakes, including the Pennsylvania Derby and the Meadowlands Cup, where he lost a dramatic goal. It was a pretty good horse, you know. So, I mean, 6 months after he made his debut, he was running the Dubai World Cup. He'd already beaten Skip Away in the Dawn. So, this horse had a lot of time since his debut. He's very, right, very good, though. And I'm sure wherever he runs, he'll get a lot of attention. I'm looking forward to it. I know they said the Met Miles, the race that they're hoping to make, and I'm excited for the possibility of seeing him. And, you know, if things go well, a possible matchup with him in Life is Good would be very exciting. I mean, he ran a faster thing than Life is Good has ever run, but I'm not ready to dismiss Life is Good against anybody at this point.
You know, John, yesterday he also made it sound like the summer opportunity would be weighed between the Whitney and the Pacific Classic.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine they would stay at the Pacific Classic. It's the mile and a quarter, and assuming they want to see that and see the Breeders' Cup, they would probably go there. This is their home base, but if they come to the Whitney, that would be awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, I hear a lot of California horses are between the Whitney and the Pacific Classic, and it feels like about 99% of them go to the Pacific Classic, so I won't hold my breath. But let's hope that he does well and he ends up to that mile, and we'll go from there. But no, I mean, he's obviously a very, very exciting horse. I don't think we need to bring up the other names. We can just bring a bunch of fast horses and say, we'll see if he's as good as these horses.
Yeah, exactly.
What happens if he gets a little more, you know, he's in against some better horse, you know, a good horse and horse that can run a little bit, whether or not he can respond in that way. But as they say, the sky's the limit.
Sky's the limit is right. It's that kind of...
See Ron Bauer retired.
Yeah, I feel badly for the Fradkins. They've had so much fun, and plus it kind of puts them they're kind of in an awkward position in terms of trying to get his second career started too now, because it's a little, you know, it's a little 11th hour for finding a, you know, finding a farm
deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's his sire?
A Twirling Candy.
Yeah. That's not a problem I have to worry about.
The one thing though that is we could include in this, you know, given what Flightline accomplished and the return, there are a number, Andy, of, you know, post Triple Crown season now 4 year olds that are entering the fray that people could look forward to. You know, there was even that maiden winner of Baffert's over the last week, Shaz, that Uncle Mo that was
sure.
Delayed.
And the runner getting... up as well.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, the Miles D's of the world, and, you know, there'll be some faces that'll start to mix it up.
But he still belongs to the conversation.
Yep.
Stan Loon is supposed to make a reappearance one of these days.
He worked the other day.
He's got a four-year-old, but he's coming back. It's very unfortunate they retired Central Quality. I mean, maybe the Sheik is broke, so he needed the money to retire. But, I mean, he did it with Bernardini. It certainly, you know, was unfortunate, and I guess that's their plan. I agree. Life is good. Jackie's Warrior will be back eventually. So, yeah, no, I agree. I think there's a much more promising four-year-old crop this year than last year. You know, last year it was slim pickings. This year seems a lot better, right?
Yes, and there's also, you know, there's also horses like this that, you know, that we're going to see stretching out, and, you know, there's sort of a, you know, an unknown quantity.
American Revolution,
right? The New York bred, yeah.
Yeah, no. There's some very nice 4 year olds out there. I agree. It seems like considerably better than we've had in years past.
And actually, I'm just pulling up here. I just pulled up the figure checklist and to name check a few others. Speaker's Corner, Bo Liam.
Speaker's Corner, sure. No, Bo Liam is retired, Steve.
Oh, did he?
He was retired about 3 months ago.
Okay, I missed that.
Lost the ACAC, and I thought I heard the other some sort of issue. But I know he did, but I don't want to say it. I didn't hear it, read it publicly. But yeah, he was retired a while ago, 2 months or more ago.
Olympiad,
agreed. Mm-hmm. Should we stay with this topic for a while?
No, I just, I there were, there's, to me, it's, it's always an interesting dynamic because there's horses that, you know, there's also horses that got sidelined. I mean, Rombauer at least got his chance in the Triple Crown, but you know, there's horses too that will start coming back and did start to come back already, toward 4-year-old seasons. So there's plenty, no shortage to look forward to. I didn't really talk too much yesterday with Rich about, we talked about Billy Turner with Richie and Seattle Slough. Slough, how does Slough resonate with you?
Slough? Oh, you know, I that was the first Buffalo Stakes I ever went to.
Is that right?
My birthday, my 15th birthday, yeah.
Wow.
And
wow.
I didn't see him race live that many times. I wasn't at the Wood. I saw him in Allowance at Saratoga before the fall. You know, it's the first, I had been to the last two Marlboro Cups. A friend of mine got married. Actually, that Saturday of the Marlboro Cup, so I didn't go down with my friends like I usually do. He's still married though, so I don't hold against him. One of the few. Actually, he's the current judge in Schoharie County.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he's done well too. Very nice person. He was really great, you know. He was an incredible 2-year-old, an amazing 3-year-old year. And, you know, what he did as a 4-year-old is, you know, I mean, I think his loss to Exceller in the Gold Cup is one of those races that'll really never be forgotten by racing fans, you know. And I think a lot of people won't remember that after losing that race, he made a final career appearance, and then he won the Stuyvesant.
He did.
Race back about like 10 lengths. They sort of brought him there to showcase him in front of the fans, which is really cool.
With Angel. Angel rode him his last four.
The old Frank Wright show.
Did you see that video with Mig, in fact, with Wright?
No.
It's very funny.
I actually saw Seattle Slough at Three Chimneys, I think in 1994. He looked great. He and Slough Gold looked great. Yeah, he also turned out to be an incredible sire. I mean,
that's
amazing,
right. Yeah.
An amazing effect on the breed. So it wasn't just as a racehorse, you know. I mean, he and Alidar were two, you know, great racehorses that both had incredible careers as stallions, too. So, no, I love Slough. Billy Turner trained a horse I liked a lot that ran around that time named Big John Taylor. I think he won a division of either the Carter or the Boojum the day of the Preakness, the next year, the Fermin Alidar's Preakness. Grand Clarovich, Zarovich was a tremendous horse. Really, really, really good horse.
Yes.
They had a score in a Billy Turner horse on Preakness Day that won at Belmont, named Pinky Pizlansky. And those, you know, kind of horses others may not remember, but I remember, paid $50 from Delaware.
You're nobody remembers this kind of thing like you. I just pulled up this Big John Taylor. He won a MASCAP.
Did?
Yeah, 78 MASCAP.
Wow.
And he won the Rose Bend at Aqueduct in 78 in the spring.
No kidding.
Yeah. Third in the 78 Carter. How about that? He stretched out to win that MASCAP in 78. And then went out to Exarban, the Cornhusker. Interesting. I don't know this horse. He was a Speak John, The Taylor, and this was Taylor Hill.
Same connections. Yeah. I remember. You won the Boojum, right?
He,
right?
Did he win the Boosium? Yes, he did. Won the 78 Boosium.
Yeah, that was the race that I think was on the day of the it was a split division, I think. I remember betting him.
The ones that I brought up yesterday, as Rich talked about some of the horses he rode for Billy Turner, I included Zarevich as really a horse that time has forgotten. Andy, I mean, you never hear his name. The one that I remember of Turner's, though, very much more was Gaviola, when she had that
she ran. I mean, later. And,
yeah,
you didn't follow the game that early, so.
No.
Yeah. She was a nice dirt horse.
Yeah. She got very good that summer. And won a bunch.
What year was that?
90. 90 or 89. In that. Right in that wheelhouse. No, I take that back. Later. 2000. 2000,
yeah,
not 90. 90.
Yeah.
Right. Sands Point, Lake Placid, in the Garden City.
Lake Placid, originally Lujana.
Say again?
I feel like the Lake Placid was originally named Nijana. She was I think she was a Rokeby horse. I think she won the Schuylerville of the Maiden. 75. Anyway, yeah. What else?
Some thoughts about the Jerome, and I know the number came back moderate, but
it was a moderate race. It's hard to judge. This was an unusual weekend of all 4 days of racing, which featured an extremely strong speed bias, and the inside got very good as well. On any horse that closed, rode the rail for the majority of the race. The inside, Rossier is a nice horse. He improved a little bit from his maiden win. I don't know. He got 4 point higher figure, but he also was wide when he won his maiden. And, paces are a little bit confusing at Aqueduct. I'm not saying it was a slow pace because it was a pretty quick pace, but you saw this in the winter last year. You're seeing a real exaggeration between the paces, a half mile, the first half and the second half. But it was a quick pace, but it didn't really matter on that racetrack. That racetrack was so extremely biased that the pace probably wasn't as relevant as it would have been on other days. And the other horse who was on the lead, and Bossier was sitting in second, Hagler just, A, isn't that good, and B, can't get a mile. So it didn't, couldn't help that horse enough. And Quasi got on the second horse. Smart enough. Been pretty well to make a big run in there. I don't really think anybody's going to expect these horses to be serious Derby horses, but we'll see them progress from here. The favorite, the Cook horse, Cook Creek.
Yeah, of Jerry O'Dwyer's.
He was compromised by the fact, it's a tricky situation when you have a racetrack that's that heavily biased, and this was an extreme situation. What happened is, from the rail, they sort of rode him to be in the race, and I think it caused him to run faster early than he's most comfortable. And I think that's the problem with bias, is that horses that really aren't suited to being forward, their riders, understandably, if they're paying attention, the connections want to be more forward because they're realizing that making that big run just isn't going to be effective. So I think in riding him into the race, he probably was never really that comfortable. And I don't think he ran badly to be third, but at this point, it's hard to be overly optimistic about any of them for the Derby. But it was hard going into the race to feel that way either. I don't think the Smarty Jones Oaklawn was that significantly different. I know the winner got an 82 buyer. It's a little bit better. You know, he's got a very good trip in that race. But, you know, he's only run twice. He can improve, and I'm not, you know. But you know, it's a funny three-year-old crop now, right? Because, I mean, you've got, as of now, a bunch of horses that are trained by Baffert that are ineligible to run the Derby. And I realize they haven't missed any significant point races, but it's getting to a point where, you know, whether it's Corniche or the horse that won out in California in the Sham, their connections are going to have to make a decision. And you would imagine they'll be in different barns for the next starts, because I think the 50-point races in the next round, right?
Yeah, after.
Or whenever they start, whenever they are.
February.
They're going to have to start taking it a little more seriously, or maybe there's 20, whatever, you know, at some point. So, who are the major Derby now? I mean, I don't think anybody really thinks Corniche is a major Derby now anyway, but I guess at this point in this group, he is. I mean, we don't know where Jack Christopher, what he's going to do. Is he going to really be a mile and a quarter horse? And obviously, he's extremely talented. He's the best two-year-old we saw last year, but is he going to be the best 3 mile? I think the first two finishers in the Remsen are absolutely very high on any list. Zandon and, of course, that should have been disqualified, the Donegal horse. You know, they're very good, those horses. But who are the horses? You know, who are the other horses that... I mean, I assume these horses from Baffert end up in different trainers' hands, so I guess they will be theoretical contenders when they do, but as of now, you know, it's hard to know where to put them. There are some California horses that seem promising, but it's right now that there's some promise around. But boy, there's a lot of room at the top, isn't there?
You would... Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair to say.
We've seen a lot of really. Another winner of the race in Florida got a 90 buyer. What's his name again?
Starts with an S. Not simulation.
Simulation sounds something like that. Sounds right.
Simplification.
Yeah,
simplification.
Well, he's a potential. I mean, he's a speed horse. He seems to be best when he's comfortable in the lead. And he had run. I think he ran a 92 when he broke his maiden, so it's not like he had run a fast figure before, so, you know, he could be promising.
How about that horse? Did you see that horse at Fairgrounds?
I don't know, Steve. Did we talk about Fairgrounds yesterday, you and I?
I don't remember if we did.
What are the chances that I saw it?
Oh, that's true. You said, that's right. You said you weren't really watching much Fairgrounds.
Why don't you tell me about a horse at Fairgrounds?
Well, there's a horse, Epicenter, that won the Gunrunner. Asmussen, Not This Time. In fact, Not This Time's won both of those.
I know Not This Time's the sire of the horse.
87. 87.
What?
87.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah, that was all right.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's early, you know? But I don't think the races we saw this weekend presented us with, at this point, major players, the Triple Crown. But that doesn't mean it can't change, you know?
Yeah.
4 months, the Derby. Horses can and will improve. But we'll see. I mean, I think the top three from the Jerome are coming back to the Withers. You know, Ray Handel won with that Constitution lawyer. Unfortunately, one race too late for me, but won on Sunday and got an 84 buyer. But he also did on the front end. So he was helped by the racetrack. But still, he got to figure 11 points higher than the Jerome. You know, he figures to be a contender of the Withers as well. I know Ray's pointing him there.
You know, I'll give you a horse. Speaking of Fairgrounds, I'm looking at my Fairgrounds charts.
You're very excited by Fairgrounds this year.
I like Fairgrounds. I'm a sucker for Fairgrounds.
You're really excited. You keep bringing
but
it
no,
up.
You're going to. Well, you'll appreciate it because it's somebody that loves the game and is always knee deep. Al Gold. I want to mention this horse of Al's, Cyberknife, who kind of connected the dots in that maiden breaker the day after Christmas at Fairgrounds. Got an 80 buyer. Got an 80. He's a gun runner out of a Flower Alley mare.
A lot of gun runners out there that can run.
It's crazy. Crazy.
Yeah. No, he's had a terrific first year. No doubt about it.
It was the holiday fortnight, as it were. It was when it came to the two becoming three-year-olds, Gunrunner and Not This Time, they were like a rash over everything. There were maiden winners all over the place. The couple of stakes winners I just mentioned, the Gun Runner and the Untappable. Brendan Walsh had a horse that called North Country, Not This Time, win the counterpart filly race, the Untappable, and she started on the turf and looks like she's going to go forward as well on the dirt. Who had a couple of notable winners, Andy, that you'll be appreciative of. Practical Joke had a couple of nice stake wins over
He had a very good first year.
Yeah. Girl with a Dream won the Letelier, and Stand-Up Comic for Butchie Reed won the Parks Futurity the other day. Both Practical Jokes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw those races. Yeah. I saw the Parks race. I'm still trying to figure out how the Parks ran a Futurity for girls. Has anybody gotten the bottom of that?
It was strange. I agree. That was. It's
was
funny
it
you say that.
Race?
Yeah, I thought. That's what I thought, but. I guess they don't all have to be called debutantes or. My favorite on that front is the old River Downs, was it River Downs? Who runs the bassinet? I always liked
the River Downs.
Yeah. Yes. I thought that was a great.
The River Downs now Belterra?
Yes. Well. Andy, also, one thing I did not bring up yesterday either, I referenced it, but the carryover, and part of the carryover on New Year's Eve, the Alex Robb and Seafoam, that was game, I guess.
That was a bias-aided victory. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
You know, you'll continue to notice the recurring theme of horses in front winning races.
Exactly.
He got pressed a little bit early in the race, and he ran fine, but it's very hard to, it's hard to judge these races that were. I mean, this was an extreme and extended a bias as I think I've seen in a long, long time. Certainly in New York, you go back to days of the Inner a long time ago, when we have these long runs of gold rails. But there was a lot of rain, and there was never a chance to track to dry out because it kept raining.
Yeah.
So we'll assume and hope that it gets back to fair this week. We've been dealing with a fair track for the vast majority of the year. But this was an extreme situation.
Well, under that scenario, Andy, how about then the performance of Untreated to come from a little mid-packish, right?
No, he wasn't that far behind. Look at the horse who was second. He's an uncompetitive horse who bought him gamely the wire, 25-1 at the speed. I mean, the dopey move in there was Linda Rice scratching the horse in the rail, and she claimed from Danny Gargan, who would have been lone speed. He would have won that race. Yeah, Untreated's running 296 buyers, I guess. He's coming back.
Yeah.
Todd is open to run him in stakes. He's definitely promising. But you're right. He closed a little bit in that race. I mean, I think his performance a little better than it looks because he had to make up some ground, and they've had to ride him to get in the race. Yeah, he's a promising horse. In some ways, it's unfortunate because he was a Paul Pompa horse.
Yeah, that's right.
Paul Pompa in his debut. But there had been a lot of talk about him, leading up to his debut. I mean, he went off at 4-5 that day, and Tad Brown even mentioned to me that he really, really liked him a couple weeks before he ran. And he's done very well since being sold. He didn't sell for that much money, especially considering some of the ridiculous prices of that sale.
Well, racing resumes Thursday at Aqueduct. How's Thursday and Friday? How we look?
Well, I guess okay. I'm finished with the cards. I mean, it's winter,
Yeah.
Racing is going to be what it is. It's okay, but I just hope the track's fair because it becomes such a giant distraction when you have an extended bias like that. It just puts all the races in a very specific sort of category as opposed to just sort of handicapping and hoping for the best. So, I hope for some horses to bet back out of some of these races, going forward a little bit, and hopefully you know, hopefully make some money with some horses that were compromised and betting against some horses that were very much helped by the racetrack.
Just looking ahead to the weekend as well, and they'll draw tomorrow. What are we looking at? It looks like the Safe Florida Sandy on Saturday.
Oh, that'll be very exciting.
And the Rego Park.
New York, right?
Yes. And the next, I guess the next big...
Okay, what's our... half an hour. I don't feel as though we have any more to talk about. Do you see?
No, we're good. We're good.
Good. Who's next?
We've got a bit of a roundtable with Alan Foreman and with Sid Fernando and Chuck Simon. We're going to talk the USATA slash HISA